kind of relatable. And so she's a fun character that people kind of can get. And I'll tell you, like, she wasn't at first. Like, when I was trying to find an agent, I just was getting rejections everywhere. And then I went to this writers conference back in New York, and I met this editor named Peter Joseph from Thomas Dunn Books, and he requested a copy of my book, and he gave me some feedback that changed everything. He's like, "Dawn, my beta readers really love this storyline. They really don't like your character." And I realized it's because I was writing all my angry feelings when I first started, and I had to remove me out of the equation.
Right, indeed.
So.
Well, you got to watch that because I know, and people say to me, what can you give me as a hint and stuff like that? And one of the things I always say is have faith in yourself because I've been to, oh, there was, I know one lady in particular who'd written a book and it was pretty good. You know, she used to read to it at the writers group I was at, and that, it's pretty good. And she ended up going to one of these seminars, and there was a speaker there. And he said, "Well, when you write this sort of story, you've got to write it in this tense, and you've got to do this and do this and this." Anyway, she went home, and she basically the next 6 months she rewrote her book, and then she went to another seminar, and it was somebody else saying something different. And by the time she actually got it and finished it, there wasn't much of her left. And that's the thing you've got to watch. You can take advice, but don't write yourself out of it. It's your story. Have faith in yourself.
Agreed. That's amazing. I love that story.
Yeah, but so I know, as I said at the beginning, you are a forensic accountant. I had to check up what one of those was. The detective of accounting, basically. You sort of follow that stuff through. Did you bring that into your book?
Oh, absolutely. So I think a lot of writers do that. They use like careers that they're familiar with, and I'm a fraud examiner, and I have a lot of like cases that I've worked, and they're interesting. And so you actually learn a lot about the like, what it's like to be a forensic accountant actually, and some of the soft interrogation techniques that my character uses. And she basically does these like 12 kind of wonky, unexpected steps,
Ah, that's where the
of great
12 for 12
wrongdoing.
comes in, right? I was going to ask about
Yes.
that.
So she's out to answer these like super important questions that are unknowns in her life, and she does it through this 12 steps or 12 phases that she puts together, and they're just, a lot of wrongdoing goes on there,
Right.
but she's one of those characters that you can root for because I think I've managed to keep like the sympathy for what she's doing in all her madness. So the one of the things, like a lot of people who have pains like that that they don't know what to do with, they develop kind of strange like for example, my character, she's missing someone who loved music, played the guitar, and so she like develops a great like hatred for music. So I can read like a little excerpt if you want me to
Please do,
about how
please
she
do,
feels.
please do.
Okay, so it's says to me, the character says, music evokes the most powerful of feelings, opens old wounds, and picks at emotional scars with tools of lemon and salt. It conjures that which has never been, makes us kings or slaves in a single keystroke, and bypasses all of the security measures carefully installed to protect our emotional well-being. And the biggest secret of all, it's false. Now, don't throw me off your show, Barry. I
No,
know, just
but
a
you're quite right. I'm the fir the first the first girl who ever broke my heart. Just around the time there was a song called "Honey" by Bobby Goldsboro, and I got that, and it was like our song, And when we broke up, I sort of played it. I don't know if you remember, but you used to have the arm across the record player, and if you had the arm back, it just kept playing it again and again and again. And I remember sitting there, my parents coming in, "Turn something else on besides that. You've played that 20 times." And even now, when I sort of sing it occasionally, and even now, it still brings back the memories. I mean, and you're talking 50 years,
It does, yeah. So she keeps going. She's like, music lies.
It
So,
does. It
and
does. I mean,
then,
how many people out there today, right? I mean, the audience out there, right? You hear a bit of music, it brings back memories. Good memories, bad memories. It's still there. It still brings it back. And it's, I guess it's how you not respect, but how you respond, to the music and how it affects your life in a way.
Right. So, little spoiler alert, she's kind of able to heal these kind of her weird quirk, through her process
Right.
and stuff. But like, it's like, I once went to this other like a writer's class, and I met Juliana Baggett there. And first words she said to us were, "Be thou not vaguely bitter." So, right. There's no vagueness in her bitterness at first, but her transformation is quite remarkable, and I think it's the thing that healed my soul personally,
So
as a human
pull
being.
your experience into the character? I mean, most people do. I mean, people say, is there anything of you in the book? Of course there is. I wrote the blinking thing, yeah.
Right. That's right. Well, it's mostly just like I think the things of my soul are in there from that time of life.
Right.
And they helped me to heal and become a better human being. And I went, I was quite an angry human being, like to the point that my character wasn't likable for a while there until I edited her out. But so,
Did you
yeah.
find, I mean, one of the things we always say on this show is that the characters lead you, that you have no control over the characters. They lead you down different paths, minor characters or major roles. Some even demand their own books. Did you find that with your character, that she was leading you down perhaps a dark way you didn't want to go?
Oh, absolutely. And there have been times where like I'd have to delete big scenes and parts of the story because I'm like, that's not where my character actually wanted to go. That's where I thought my
That's
plot
it. Oh
line
my
should
goodness,
go.
too. We had late people know this. I've used this before, but we had a lady on the show. I think she was like a historical romance author. I can't remember. It was about 3, 4 years ago, and this was like her 22nd, 23rd book. And we were talking about this sort of stuff, and she said, that's totally what happened this time. She said, and she told us she tried to kill this character off 5 times. The character wouldn't die. She had to go back and rewrite the whole blinking thing because the character just wouldn't die. Well,
Excellent.
you try telling that to, non-writers, and they think you're mad, but it's true. The characters, they take you
It's
there.
so true. They do. Like they develop their own. Yeah, you just have to listen to it and
Yeah.
avoid author creep,
I tell you, people say about writer's block. To me, that's a case of you didn't listen to your characters, and now they've got the hump with you.
Oh, I think that's so true. And also on writer's block, I once learned that you can overcome writer's block by doing more research. If you're blocked, it's because you haven't done enough research. That's
Research
kind of
or
my theory
else
on things.
write something totally different. Just go away and just
Totally.
write anything you want, something totally, and then the characters say, "Hey, she's forgotten me. I can't." It's true. It's true. It's so true. Now, one of the things we were talking about earlier, and as I said, these days I write parodies and not a lot else.
Oh, yes.
And
No,
but I mean,
Barry,
I've
you are
got
like a
30 odd.
master parody writer, if anybody
Yeah,
doesn't
I
know
know. I
this
mean,
already.
there was a lady. Well, we used to sing until it shut down about sort of 2 months ago. We used to sing there, and she was a big Weird Al fan. And she says, "You're not Weird Al, you're Crazy Barry." So that's what I'm going to call myself from now on. So,
Crazy
but
Barry.
you have written a parody as well.
I have. I wrote it as a creative. I actually wrote it when I was feeling blocked because I needed a
There you
creative
go.
outlet.
See what we said? Yep.
And when I knew I was going to be on your show, I decided to put it to some music. So it was a parody to the song Rock Star because how he like wants to be a big rock star. But I
Yep.
wrote a parody about the life of a writer and what it's like
Can you
to
play it for us?
Okay, yes. So I'm afraid I don't have great technology, so hang
That's
on
okay.
just
See
one
how we get
second.
on. Let's try it.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I'm through riding the ages that will never say yes. It's the bottom. Uh-oh, here I am again. And that opening line just ended in a preposition.
Tell me what you want.
I want a huge gift card to the Apple Store and a robot desk with hidden drawers and a book club full of beta readers just for me.
Good stuff.
So what do you need?
I need a brand new bouquet of sharpened pencils and a huge whiteboard with magnetic markers and a private tour of the Congressional Library.
Oh, yeah.
I want a sweet contract with subsidiary rights and a big advance that keeps on the light and a smooth typewriter with auto-correction sheets.
So how you gonna do it?
I'm gonna trade my job for poverty. I've even cut my save scenes and get a pen name, cause we all just want a big publisher with literary agents and an editor, a perfect query with a killer tagline and a copy of the Chicago Manual of Style, and we'll hang out in critique workshops with James Patterson and Alex Cross and make a plot line with a crazy twist. It's a New York Times bestseller list. And hey, I want a publisher. Hey, I want a publisher.
That's terrific.
I want to be great like Relling with all the castles, have a couple of dragons and zombies and masters and a snarky detective with a puzzling mystery.
With the monocle, ha-ha.
I'm gonna hone my craft with the latest classes, get a trendy set of some reading glasses, have a weekend date with my favorite protagonist,
Edmund Dantès.
I'm gonna trade my job for poverty. I'd even cut a face scenes and get a pen name, cause we all just want a big publisher with literary agents and an editor, a short synopsis with a full narrative, a copy of the suit for thesaurus, and we'll hang out at conferences with the D&D baddies in full renaissance grammar, jousting over principles with depraved misuse of the participle, and we'll moonlight on Amazon with Roger's Dictionary and another pen name. I'll write about a villain with an evil smile. Everybody's got an editor on speed dial. Well, hey, I want a publisher. I'm gonna write those books that ruffle the feathers, gonna win those contests with honorary mention, get my own window at the Barnes & Noble, get an A-list cast for my series ensemble. Cause we all just want a big publisher with literary agents and an editor. Have a sliding ladder in my private library with a copy of the Oxford Latin Dictionary, and we'll hang out in research groups with the great Dan Brown and his many tropes, invent a terrifying antagonist, dominate the USA Times bestseller list, and we'll join the League of the Scarlet Pimpernel and work on stories with show don't tell. My character will arc with a riveting trial. Someone get my senior editor on the dial. Hey, I want a publisher.
That's terrific. That's really good. Next time you go to a writer's conference, you've got to sing that. You realize that?
Oh my gosh, I'm no master voice artist.
But no, you really. I mean, it was terrific, and it's funny. You got to watch. I came across this. Oh, crikey. When the Queen died, when with Paddington Bear was there before, with the tea and stuff like that. And you've got to watch what you do with stuff like that, because, you know, when you use another bit of music. Because what happened was, and it's going back a long way, it must be 45 years ago, something like that. And I tell you how what happened was, my aunt used to run gang shows, Guides and Brownies and stuff like that, musical shows for them. And I used to play the drums, help out and stuff like that. And we were trying to find something for the little ones, for the Brownies, you know, 7 to 9, 7 to 10 to sing in this show. And I said, oh, I'll try and write something for them. Well, it was about the time that Lord of the Dance, the music, you know, the hymn, whatever, came out. And so I thought, rather than try and write the music for it, I'll take that tune. And it was called Paddington's Birthday Do. you know, come along, all of you, if you're from England or Darkest Peru, there's Rupert Bear and Paddington, Noddy too, all at Paddington's birthday do. And the idea was that all the kids could dress up in different nursery rhyme characters. Anyway, we had the Thursday, the Friday, and the two shows on the Saturday. And all the little ones, people loved it. They all dressed up. They all joined in and stuff like that. Lo and behold, on the Sunday, they had church parade. And they went to church parade. And for the first time, they actually had Lord of the Dance as one of the hymns. Well, of course, the organist started playing Lord of the Dance. The little ones thought, oh, my goodness, it's our Paddington song. They're starting singing about Paddington Bear and the vicar and everything, looking at what the hell's going on. Of course, all the leaders knew exactly what it was. So they're singing about Paddington Bear and Noddy and Rupert and everything like that. And then all the rest of the congregation are singing, you know, Lord of the Dance. So, yeah, you've got to watch that sometimes.
That's right. Oh, what an excellent story.
I know. I'd love to have been there, but I mean, it's one of those things you wouldn't believe it if you did. Right. So we've got 12 for 12 out now, right? You got another one on
yep.
the go?
Oh, I'm always working on something there. Yeah. So I've put new things together for Camden Slade, our main character. So we'll see where they go.
Oh, so you're bringing the characters on, which is always good. I like that. And you think you found your niche in the genre, or are you going to try other stuff?
Do you know, I've written a young adult novel under another pen name. And
oh, another pen name, as your song said, right?
I know, right? And now I'm like writing a little nonfiction, so we'll know. I never quite know what I'm going to pump out. So I do hope to bring some more of this to people.
I'd love to read your nonfiction about the trials and the trails that you followed in your job.
I'll be sure and send you one, Barry.
Oh, my God. Oh. I can imagine that. Yeah. Hunting for the missing money.
Well,
anyway,
time has gone
okay. really quickly. So what I'm going to do now is actually hand the show over to you and have you tell
okay.
everybody where people can find out more about you and, of course, your books. Book.
Okay.
Book soon.
So,
book at the moment, right?
Yeah. So my other name is Dawn J. Rasmussen, because there's a famous, you know, resume writer named Dawn Rasmussen.
Okay. So,
you're
not the one and only. So now I know. Right. Okay.
That's right. Unfortunately. So you can check me out at my web address is dawnjrasmussen.com. 12 for 12 is available everywhere, Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And I have a Twitter account, or, you know, I'm on most of the social networks out there. So just look for my tag at Dawn J. Rasmussen. I really love 12 for 12. I really do feel like even if you're not brokenhearted, you can really, it's the character you can
yeah.
swing for.
Yeah.
And
that's good. So
yeah,
somebody can relate to it. It can help sample. I mean, that's all you can ask for, that people, you know, it helps people along the way. That really is.
Absolutely. Yep. So
well, Dawn,
if you read my
you
book and you love it.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so
Please leave
much.
Me a review.
Thank you so much for being a guest on the show. I really enjoyed it. And good luck with the book. And perhaps when the next one comes out, you'll come back and chat to us again.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Barry. It's been fun being with you here today.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Dawn J. Rasmussen. So D-A-W-N, letter J, and then R-A-S-M-U-S-S-E-N, Dawn J. Rasmussen. And we've been talking to her about her life and everything like that, but also about her book, her debut book, 12 for 12. And as we said, it's the sort of book that can help a lot of people. So look for it. Have a look. Look at her website. Add the .com onto her full name and you'll find her website. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are going to really enjoy this and find it very interesting and helpful, hopefully. Well, that's it. That's it for this week. I'll be back on Sunday from 5 to 6 with Those Were the Days. And our theme this week, last week it was goodbye. This week it's hello. So think of all the bits of music you can think of from the 20th century with hello or hi or stuff like that. Anyway, that's what it is. And of course, after that, from 6 to 7pm Eastern or here on New Visions Radio, we have the Swinging 60s, music from the 60s to bring back memories and perhaps dust some of those cobwebs up and see if you remember them. Or perhaps you never heard them before. Anyway, that's that. And of course, next Tuesday, I'll be back with a fresh guest here on A Book and a Chat. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say.